He was terrific.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Gail. All right. So with that, let me share with you then a few things about the Trinity, which is what we're doing today. I'm going to get that in. There we go. It's cutting off the top of my head, but now I can't see my notes. Okay.
We can adjust it.
Great. Okay. Here comes the IT department. Oh, excellent. Okay, great. Here we are. Okay, Zoomers, here we go. Very good. Now we've seen the expertise that Chris has in full bloom. All right. Okay, the Trinity. That's difficult to describe. I mean, what rector of or vicar of a church doesn't want a seminarian to preach on that Sunday, you know, instead of doing it ourselves. But nonetheless, here we are, Trinity Sunday. I'll give it my best shot. And what I'm going to look at today is the Spirit of Truth will take from me and deliver to you, Jesus says. Everything the Father has is also mine. That's why I have said, he takes from me and delivers it to you, or as our translation here says, declares it to you. Very interesting kind of thing that's going on here with Jesus and the Spirit and you and me. Now, did you appreciate the new awning that we have outside today? Yeah. And you remember it was delayed because of supply chain issues. You remember that? Yeah. I had occasion to talk to some people who work at the diocesan office, and the air conditioning in that building is down until the end of September. And the reason for that is supply chain issues. That's right, supply chain issues. Now, I just want to point out that the opposite is true in the kingdom of God, and receiving from Jesus is never delayed because of supply chain issues between Jesus and us. It's direct. It's immediate. It is from the Spirit of God, and it is powerful, and it is for you and for me. Yeah, there's not even like overnight delivery. It's immediate right there. So let's take a look at how this works. As you know, the Trinity, the triune God, is many things, more things than we can know or imagine. It's the image in which we were created. In the image of the Trinity. It's the model of how we relate to one another, what Jesus is drawing us to and transforming us into. The depth of the existence of God is far beyond what any of us can imagine. But what I want to look at today is that the Trinity is a delivery system. And there are things that are delivered to us because of the Trinity. The Father, the Almighty, shares everything with Jesus, and Jesus owns all of that. No questions. It's not being loaned. It's not something that he has to return later for any reason. Jesus owns it all and gives it to the Holy Spirit, who then gives it to us with the same level of ownership. In fact, the scripture says the gifts of God are without repentance, which means God gives you a gift, a gifting, whatever it is, and does not take it back. Very, very important, powerful thing. Now, the Spirit of Truth is what takes what belongs to Jesus. All the things that you see that belong to Jesus, the Spirit of Truth will take them and give them to us. Okay? Everybody all right so far? Good. Very good. And there is a way that God does that. And you will recall how God creates. Anybody recall? By speaking. God created. God said, let there be such and such, and there it was. So God will speak. That's why it says in the gospel today that the Spirit will take from me and declare it to you. When the Spirit of God declare something within your spirit, it is being created within you. When something from Jesus is being declared within you by the Spirit of God, that particular aspect or gifting of Jesus, that ministry of Jesus, whatever it is now being created within you because God has said, let there be, and whatever it is, God is giving you. Part of what it means to belong to Jesus is that you are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's the goal. A huge manner in which Jesus does this within us is by delivering to us, declaring to us through the Spirit of God, the things Jesus has. When they're declared within us, we are transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And that's just where we're going. That's our destination. That's what God is leading us to. You might recall something from 1 John. We do not know what we shall become, but we shall be like Him. It doesn't say we don't know what we shall become, but we shall become like our own selves. Or some of you like our own bad selves. We shall become like Him. That's our destination. You may recall from Revelation 19. It's been a few years since I mentioned it, but I thought I'd mention it again today. Revelation 19, the Apostle John is getting this tour of heaven, going all around, seeing myriads upon myriads of angels. Now, I don't know what a myriad is, but I think it's pretty big. So there's many, 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 many angels. Wow, did you see that? And so, by the way, if you know, if something goes bad, we can just run out of the building. That'd be fine. So here's John going around, seeing the myriads of angels. And then along comes somebody, says it's an angel or messenger of God. And John is tempted. Wait a minute, Chris. I don't understand the sign language that you're...
That click was me.
Oh, okay, good. Feel free to click as often as you like this morning.
No, I was just taking care of the power.
Yeah, great, great, great. Okay, so, do I need this then?
No, it's gone.
Okay, good, okay. All right, those of you who listen to this later, just edit those last few seconds out. So there's John. He sees the angel, the messenger of God, and he wants to worship that being. Now, he's seen myriads and myriads of angels and never once wanted to worship any one of them. Here comes this one, and he wants to worship. And the scripture tells us that that was someone who was a Christian who had gone before. You know, Christian walking around heaven. I don't know what you do when you're walking around heaven, but there you are. And John came upon him and wants to worship him. Why is that? Because at that point, you and I will look so much like Jesus, we'll be mistaken for Jesus. The Apostle John, who walked with Jesus for 3 years and then followed Jesus for maybe another 70 or 80 or maybe more years and did all kinds of things, and now is seeing this great revelation in heaven, would not have mistaken anybody else for Jesus. And he thinks that that's Jesus. That's where you and I are going. I mean, we'll be walking around heaven, and along comes Chris, and we'll say, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, wait, that's Chris. or anybody, Susan, Mary, and Rob, Martha, any of us. We're walking around, and we will look so much like Jesus, we'll initially be mistaken for Jesus. That's where we're going. The process of becoming like that is the Spirit of God taking from what is in Jesus and declaring it within our own hearts and souls, so that our transformation is becoming more and more like Him. The question is, do we want to receive the things of Jesus into our lives? And we would say, well, yeah, absolutely, yes, of course, sign me up. Where do I stand in line? It means, however, becoming more like Jesus. Remember John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. And sometimes we don't want to sign up for that part, that second part. But that's what's happening. So how does this work? See, there's things about ourselves in which we say, well, now that's the way I am. That's just the way I am. Have you ever told that to anybody? You don't have to admit it right now, but yeah. Okay. And those things where you say, well, that's just the way I am. Those things may be more the way you have reacted than the way you were created and gifted. Taking the transformation Jesus brings makes you the way you were created to be, not the way you want to settle into now. The things of the Father, which are also the things of Jesus, delivered to us by the Holy Spirit, transform us more and more fully into who we are created to be. And we are created to be like Jesus. We do not know what we shall become, but we shall be like Him. That's what the Trinity delivers to us. The supply chain brings us to the goal of being like Jesus. And what we do now is receive it. Let me give you an example. This is another one you don't have to admit to right now, just within yourself. Do you hold a grudge? Okay. So, were you created to hold grudges? Is that your purpose in life? Was that the calling God has placed upon you to hold grudges throughout your life? Or were you called to follow in the way of the one who created you? Now, a grudge is something that is a reaction that we have. But it is not the heart of who we are. It is not the gifting that God has given us. And the gifting God has given us and the call God puts upon our lives is what brings us to be more and more like Jesus, transformed into the likeness of Jesus. The Spirit of truth will take what belongs to Jesus in the area of forgiveness and deliver it to you. Now, we've looked at forgiveness from time to time, and what we have concluded is that it is impossible to forgive certain people on our own power. And saying certain people is very generous. It may be impossible to forgive anyone on our own power. But it takes the power of the Spirit of God giving us the things of Jesus, who said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That the Spirit of God will declare into our hearts, and that will be created within us, and we'll be able to grow in that and become more and more like Jesus as we go along. What happens is it becomes our responsiveness and our responsibility to receive it and let it transform us out of holding a grudge into responding to Jesus. Now, that's just one example. There might be more that you could think of. There's probably areas of hesitation or fear that we have. There's maybe areas where, of course, not anyone here, but just as an example, areas where you want to be in charge. You want to be the one who says the way it goes. You want to be the one who says, I set this up this way, so that's the way it goes. And, same question. Were you created to tell everybody else what to do? Now, some people would say, yes, I was. But there may be something of Jesus which just does not actually line up with that. And you, the Spirit of God will speak into your heart and soul and deliver to you what is of Jesus in that area of your life. Okay, what's the way forward? The way forward is to receive, obviously, what the Holy Spirit is delivering to us. And I want to suggest that the way to do that is very simple. And how not to do it is what I want to start with. Don't pray, Lord, help me do the things I really don't want to do. I don't want to give up that grudge. So help me do this thing that I don't really want to do. I would suggest not praying that way. Or making it more simple, I would suggest not praying this way. Keep me from being wrong. I would suggest that that's not a fruitful prayer. I would suggest praying like this. Lord Jesus, make me like you. Let me be like you. And I suggest that we do that this week. In whatever way you are praying, that you might add that. It's pretty short. Make me like you. And see what happens. And go ahead in the way that you're comfortable in doing it. Maybe you're comfortable saying, make me like you. And just sitting with Jesus for a while, silently. Or maybe you say, make me like you. And you take off on your day doing what you have to do. Whatever it is, whatever your particular prayer habit as you're developing it, just use that and put in there somewhere, make me like you, and see what happens. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you supply everything needed for us to become like you. We ask that you would give us hearts that desire that more than we could imagine we could desire it right now. We ask that for the glory of your name. Amen. Whoops. Let's